Mary Andretti has joined us on Sports Byline USA. Mary, let me ask you about the 1969 Indianapolis 500. I think there is a dynamic with the 500 that is a little bit different than almost any other sporting event. And what I mean by that is it's held once a year. If you play a professional sport in basketball, football, baseball, you lose the game, you got a chance to come back the next day or the next week. But you have a whole year between races with the Indy 500. Tell me what that dynamic, that time dynamic does as far as preparing and actually driving in the race, knowing you've got one shot at it once a year.
Well, the only way that I can explain that, it's like the Super Bowl. You know, you only have one Super Bowl that year, and that seems to be more important than the rest. And Indy is almost the equivalent of a championship. That's how much weight that race carries because the obvious, the strong tradition and everything that goes with it. So, again, from a career standpoint, that's one race you definitely want to put under your belt because, you know, right or wrong, you're judged. Seems like you're judged by that race. It's unfair, in my opinion, but you are. And so it's a big relief, believe me, once you win it. And then, you know, I won it in my fourth try, and I figured, well, God willing, I'll get a few more. It never happened. You know, I was close, actually, dominated that race several times, but didn't have the luck to really bring it to the end, but the fact that at least I got that one under my belt was really a blessing, if you will.
Are those frustrations one of the most intriguing aspects of racing, especially in a high-profile event like the Indy 500? What I mean by that is a large part of it, of course, is the driving by the driver himself, but it could be the weather, it could be a breakdown of equipment, it could be a race, an accident that you get caught up in the race. Are there a lot of things out of your hands that you know, you just simply can't control?
Well, Ron, that's just the point. You know, you go out there and you feel, okay, I'm doing my job, I'm leading this thing, and, you know, I'll give you an example. In 1987, I mean, it was the easiest race of my life. You know, I was a lap in the lead with 23 laps to go, and the reason I dropped a valve, I broke a valve spring, is because I was going too, you know, my rev range was too low. I should have been running like 600 revs more, and I was running just a very conservative gear to save the engine. And here I was running in a bad dynamics of harmonics of the car, of the engine. And, you know, the engine people always say, oh, keep the revs down, keep the revs down. Well, I was keeping my revs down, and that's what took me out of the race. And so that's something that's out of your control. And as you say, other factors, other things that happen to the car. I never dropped out of the lead, by making a mistake, you know. So that's something that, it's good for me to be thinking about. Again, it's just you get one shot a year. It's something that's so important. And there's only so much you can control. So frustration can set in there pretty well, believe me.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, did that kind of weigh on you each time you climbed into the cockpit for a 500? Just wondering what might happen this time?
Well, no, I tell you what, Ron, I never dwelled on the negative, on a potential negative. Always, you know, in my own mind, my mindset was always very positive. And you know what, I'm going to win this thing today, and I never, like I said, again, you know, when it happened, then that's when your chin goes in your socks, you know.
Let me ask you about three names. I want to get your recollection on them, and you've already touched on one of them, a gentleman that I had on Sports Byline and told me one of the funniest stories I've ever heard about the time he had the jet car. And he took it out on a road test, and I guess there was an old couple in an old car, and this jet car comes blowing by them with fire smoking, you know, coming out of the rear end. You know who I'm talking about, Chris Economaki.
Yeah. Chris Economaki, a true icon in our sport, and as you know, he was so important for us drivers, especially at the young age, you know, because, you know, he had this weekly newspaper, Speed Sport News, were obviously reporting all the races and evaluating things. And he had his column where he would express, had his own opinions about certain drivers. And if you caught his attention early on, like, you know, I did, I thought, oh, gosh, that was a, you know, that was all I needed to just go to the next level. And that's how important he was. That's just small part of what he meant to the sport, obviously, as an announcer and so on and so forth. He was one that you quickly recognize and appreciate.
Roger Penske.
Well, Roger is here again, one of the most successful, you could probably say the most successful team owner in our sport, you know, one that has won in Formula One, won in stock cars, won in sports cars, and of course, Indy cars. He holds the record as a owner winner at Indianapolis, a record that probably will not be equaled by anyone. And the fact that he is involved in so many top categories now, of course, it's NASCAR and Indy cars, but he's been involved with sports cars and all that, you know, before. And he's a true racer. You know, he's at sometimes he goes to two races on a weekend if logistically he can do. And he's amazing. He's just totally amazing. I drove for him for a couple of years while I was in Formula One on a part-time basis, and that's a definite highlight. I'm just happy that I had the opportunity to at least for a short period drive for him and also win a couple of races for him.
And a fellow driver and competitor of yours, A.J. Foyt.
Well, A.J., of course, you know, he's obviously one of the very best ever, you know, to drivers to be behind the steering wheel of a race car. And he was quite an inspiration to me, especially early on in my career, because here his versatility, the fact he was in a midget, in a sprint car, and a stock car, and a sports car, something that I wanted to do as well. And so he was a racer's racer, too, because I was thinking today, so you know what, in my days, I usually never had a weekend off during the season because if I wasn't doing my regular series, I was doing something else, and he was doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And he was one of those very, very few drivers that if you're ever going to win a race, you had to deal with him, every time. So one of the very best.
Yeah, in the 80s, you added your son Michael to your team, making the Andretti's the first father-son team in racing history. And I've talked to other athletes in other sports about their children following in their footsteps, and it's usually a two-edged sword, especially when their father has been very successful, as you are and have been in auto racing. What kind of discussions did you have with Michael about being his own driver and coming onto your team and the comparisons that would automatically be made?
Well, we chatted at different times and tried to make sense out of things. And my message to him would always, you know what, Michael, look after yourself. Try to satisfy yourself, and everything else, you know, will take care of, you know, we'll be okay. When I agreed to have him brought on the Newman Haas team, I felt that you're right, a double-edged sword for sure. But you know, there was a lot of pride that went along with it, and the fact that whether he was my teammate right away or what, we were just adversaries, so to speak. We were on podium together. We finished first and second. We started first and second. Eight times or 12 times, I think, on podium. And when I look back at my career, that has to be, one of the shining stars of my career, just to have had that opportunity. There were times, and I used to drive my wife crazy because we never gave an inch to each other. You know, there was true competition going on, and And many times, you know, when there was an overtaking, a lot of time we just touch wheels and so forth, and we obviously would take care of each other. We would not, you know, make sure that we were not doing anything stupid, but we were not giving much ground. And I remember clearly the very first competitive pass that he did on me at the Meadowlands Grand Prix. I was so upset because he was actually nudging me, and then he got by me at a hairpin, and then he just motored on, and I figured, doggone it, and then I said, well, that's my boy, you know, so there it is, double-edged sword.
Was it a little bit easier after Michael did it than when Jeff joined your team and even your nephew, John Andretti, joined the team as well because it was kind of not new, it wasn't the same expectations maybe?
Well, it was all about the same time, you know, the same time that Michael was there, Jeff was there. You know, in 1992, there were four of us at Indianapolis, and the first time ever, I think, that a family, you know, four members of the same family. So, yes, we were, that was pretty much the same time, and in 1993 in Milwaukee, there were three of us on podium. There was Michael first, John second, I was third.
That is amazing. I did not remember that.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you about one other thing, and that is that you are someone who has gone over the decades. I mentioned about five decades of racing and all, but there's something else about Mario Andretti. You're enduring. That's the word I'm looking for. You've been enduring as an image. I see the commercials that you do and everything. What is it about Mario Andretti that makes him so appealing to everybody and so comfortable with him?
Well, I don't know. It's mainly because I'm enjoying what I'm doing, and the fact that I have the opportunity to stay close to the sport, and it's for a very good reason. It's what I've loved all my life, and I still do some of, you know, even though it's to do some driving just to keep my hand in it. But you know, with third generation going out with Marco, you know, I'm strapping myself right on his shoulders, you know, on his car. So you can imagine, you know, that, you know, all of the feelings continue. And I don't know, maybe I'm wearing that on my sleeve, you know, the fact that I'm enjoying life and I'm lucky that I'm doing what I, you know, what I love.
When you take a look at racing today and the technology that's now available and think back to when you began racing and everything, do you just kind of laugh about how far the sport has come?
Well, yeah, and quite honestly, I think I wouldn't change that in my life, in my career, for anything. The fact that I had the opportunity to really see the sport come into, as we call it now, modern times. You know, from decade to decade, the progress that was being made, you know, on the dynamics of the car, on mechanical side, the aerodynamics. You know, I experienced the groundbreaking of so many of those areas, and then I came right into modern time. You know, into to the age of the computer. And embracing every bit of you know of the technical side that we were enjoying from year to year, so I'm very fortunate because I experienced that and I know what's going on now, and that's something that obviously you know today's drivers they only know what it is now, and I don't think they're going to see, you know, much improvement. If anything, you know, things are going to remain the same in the foreseeable future where, you know, when I was driving, we were making big gains and new cars every year and blah, blah, blah. There was no such a thing as a spec car. You know, everything was experimenting and a lot of stuff going on that I thought it was so much more fascinating from that standpoint.
Mario, I want to thank you. I remember the last time I saw you, it was in Indianapolis as we were broadcasting the show from there, and I remember what an enjoyable evening it was with your family and your wife there as well, and I've enjoyed this one as well. You are welcome back here anytime, and thank you for not only what you've done in the sport of motor racing, but also the gentleman and the way you've represented it as well. Thank you, Mario.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for allowing me to visit with you.
Mario Andretti with us again, one of the all-time great drivers in automotive racing. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.